across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Where we are at 7:06 on a Wednesday morning, January 31st, 2024. Nice to have you along here where one of our regular listeners, Rob, chimes in on Facebook to tell us good morning. It's cloudy and 32 in Tigerton. I saw a beautiful sunset last night near Wittenberg and coming back from having shrimp tacos. Now we got to find out, where do you get shrimp tacos in the Wittenberg-Tigerton area? But Rob, thanks so much for chiming in as always as we get our 7 o'clock hour started with temperatures that include 32 degrees here on Lake Wissota, 29 in Hayward, Park Falls at 30, Wausau 33, Green Bay 34, La Crosse 33, Wisconsin Rapids 32, Oshkosh 34, Madison 33, Waukesha 32. Once again, a very narrow band of temperatures, things fairly consistent around Wisconsin. Let's find out what it means for today. And I believe the word record is going to be involved here as well as meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us. Brittany, good morning. Whoa! We have really that audio was
was like techno, like industrial music. It was.
Let's try it again here. Let's see, Brittany, you there? Oh, nope.
Oh, boy.
Yikes! We have a terrible distortion on that mic there. So we're gonna, I don't know, maybe unplug it and plug it back in again and see if we get something from her. Try it one more time, Brittany. Oh, hey.
How do I sound now?
Much better.
Hey, now I can hear you now. Whatever you're doing, goodness. Don't move. However you're holding, whatever you're doing, leave it there. It's like holding the TV antenna just right. All right. How are you?
I am fantastic. I am looking forward to some shrimp tacos because it's going to feel like summer here.
Hang on. Rob comes in to the rescue of Rachel's Roadside off 29 and 45 South near Wittenberg. So there you go. All right. Look at this. We get weather. We get dinner tips as well. So, Brittany, record temperatures today, huh?
Absolutely. So right now, Eau Claire, the record is 47 degrees. That was set back in 1952. And into Wausau, it's about a 48 degree temperature. If we beat that, that was set back in 93. But here's the thing. We're talking 50 degree highs for Eau Claire into Black River Falls, the La Crosse area as well. You're going to see the warmest temperatures across the state where, yes, that word record is in the day today. So we'll probably be breaking a bunch of records in those areas. Otherwise, the rest of the state still very warm. We'll hit into those 40s statewide. Could see some upper 30s in towards Milwaukee and Racine, but a lot of sunshine on tap for a majority of us. If you're by the lake, you could see a few more clouds, but a beautiful day.
Sunshine. What a nice change of pace. Thank you.
And those tacos are only 2.5 hours away from me.
That's right. See? Road trip, you guys. One radio show road trip. We can take care of this. All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
All right. Let's bring in State Representative Katrina Shanklin joins us now, and she is one of the candidates in the Democratic primary for the 3rd Congressional District, hoping to win in August and take on Republican Derek Van Orden. Representative Shanklin, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you so much for being here. We know, I know personally, just what the long days are like when you're running a congressional campaign, especially in a large district like this. So I thought we'd check in first with you and see what's happening from a campaign standpoint. You're out there traveling, you're talking to people, you're seeking endorsements. What's been new?
Thank you. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and it has been a great time on the campaign trail. So just last week, I was in La Crosse with Congressman Mark Pecan, who is one of our two members of the Democratic congressional delegation in Wisconsin, and he announced his endorsement of my candidacy and encouraged folks to unite behind our team because, you know, I have a track record of winning elections and delivering results for working families and seniors. And he believes that that's the right, you know, profile to take on Derek Van Orden. And I couldn't agree more. So since then, just this morning, we are announcing Senator Jeff Smith from Eau Claire area, the town of Brunswick, who represents about 8 counties in the 3rd Congressional District, is also endorsing my candidacy. So we're really excited about that. The team continues to grow. I think 2 weeks ago now, Representative Steve Doyle, who represents the Onalaska area in La Crosse County also endorsed my candidacy. So we're feeling good about not only the endorsements, but also getting around the district. So I had a coffee with Katrina in La Crosse last week, another one, coffee with Katrina in Viroqua at Wonder State on Friday. So getting around and hearing from voters is really important. And there's a lot of energy and enthusiasm this early in the race. You know, we're just at the beginning of 2024 to not only oust Derek Van Orden, but really restore common sense and strong representation to Congress. Okay, I think you're muted.
Yes, he is. There you go. Trying to move that microphone. Sorry about that. You know, part of one of the reasons I was hoping to check in with you and some of the other candidates has been some of the latest social media musings of the incumbent, Derek Van Orden, who seems to have rediscovered his former self on social media when he couldn't help but, you know, cuss at people and, again, just be the angry conservative that he is, not the moderate that he's trying to be. And the one that really caught my eye was when he said he wants no part of the current push toward a bipartisan deal that would increase security and resources at the border, because former President Trump is now giving Republicans their marching orders to not take any action on something they thought was such an emergency. What's been your reaction since the former president, you know, put a halt to things and Congressman Van Orden fell right into line?
I think it just speaks to how not only does he not have a backbone or any kind of independent thought, but also the fact that he's willing to let a former president give him orders and tell him what to do instead of represent the people of the third. This is a man who has been repeatedly using the border as a political issue. He's even made several trips to the border. So for him to just immediately fold on an issue like this really speaks to not only his lack of integrity or character as it relates to his own independent thinking and ideas, but also if he can be that easily pushed around, it makes me question what he will ever accomplish for any of us in Congress. And I think that's really the point here. He spends more time on Twitter dunking on constituents, dunking on Democrats than he does ever getting anything done. And this has been one of the least productive or constructive congressional sessions, not just in the last few years, but in the last few decades. And that really speaks to the fact that House Republicans can't lead. You know, they're not only just in dysfunction and chaos, but they really, I would say, govern, if we're going to call it governing, by tantrum. Throwing tantrums when they don't get 100% of their way is not the American way at all. And I think what people expect for us in Wisconsin, we're hard workers here. Everyone cares about and values, you know, our work ethic and getting things done for folks. And our member of Congress is throwing fits once again when presented with a bipartisan deal. And that just really speaks to his unwillingness to lead.
And it also raises questions about his knowledge of the district in terms of being a center of agriculture, dairy especially. But to know that the immigration issue is for folks in Wisconsin much less about the border than it is about the migrant labor on farms, especially dairy farms. It feels like he's not getting that connection where he can be an advocate toward immigration reform. I'm wondering if you feel the same way.
Yeah, I would say this is an issue, especially dairy, but all farmers that I've heard from over the years. And it isn't just in agriculture. I would say long-term care is another big one where we have a caregiving crisis and folks are looking at least expediting worker visas and making sure that we're finding thoughtful ways to address our worker shortage issue while also ensuring our security. And again, it just speaks to his lack of seriousness that he understands that all of these issues are connected. Wisconsin is about to lose 130,000 workers out of the workforce by 2030 just due to retirements and demographics. You would think he'd be thinking about the long term. And if you care at all about agriculture, not just making sure that we have workers, especially on our dairy farms, but also a five-year farm bill. And that's another issue where, again, he serves on the Agriculture Committee. You'd think he'd get it, but we're not actually seeing any movement or leadership from him on this issue. And it just shows a lack of seriousness or interest in truly governing. You'd think that, you know, when you're in the majority, you would have the votes to do more than just complain on Twitter, but that's all I see from him. And it really speaks to the need to retire him. He can complain in the private sector.
In terms of the farm bill, yeah, that's one of those things that, you know, it's a good news, bad news thing. The farm bill is not currently caught up in all the latest, you know, threatened government shutdown, but only because they punted it an entire year. So there's a year where Republicans in the majority could have improved things in the farm bill, you know, or maybe made it worse. But the fact that they just punted it and didn't want to deal with it at all this year, what does that say, especially when you have a member from Wisconsin on the House Ag Committee?
Yeah, I mean, I think Derek Van Orden has gotten a lot of press and interest when he announced that he was on the House Ag Committee. And again, he's in the majority. And what has he done? He kicked the can down the road on a really important five-year farm bill. And that's something that I've heard from a lot of farmers across the 3rd Congressional District about. They're very worried and concerned about it. And looking at this border deal that it looks like Republicans are going to tank because Trump has said he doesn't want Biden to have a single win prior to the 2024 election. I think a lot of people feel similarly about this issue where Republicans don't want anyone to get a win. So they want all of us to lose. And that's actually just a really sad way to behave as a human being, let alone to behave as a member of Congress. So we need an adult in the room who's thoughtful, who knows how to get things done, and who's willing to negotiate without negotiating away our values and compromising our values away. And that's me in the legislature. This is my 12th year in the state assembly. I've gotten a lot done for the people of Wisconsin, and I've always made sure to center those results on working families and seniors. We need someone who's going to put the people of Wisconsin first in every decision they make. And that's certainly not Derek Van Orden. So that's why I'm challenging him.
Well, it seems to be something that is not only that you see in Washington, but in Madison as well. And we're really seeing it in terms of the push by House Republicans to want to try to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Similarly, you've had to watch as legislative Republicans have tried to fire or impeach Megan Wolf, talk about impeaching, you know, a state Supreme Court justice. What does that say about dealing with folks who, rather than working on policy, are trying to impeach people?
I think it shows that when they don't get their way and when they don't have full control of every decision in government, they're willing to throw not only government in disarray, but to completely upend, you know, how our government works and the stability and consistency that I think public employees, especially appointees, understand and appreciate. And so not only does that create a talent crisis when it comes to filling important positions like the DNR secretary, but it also will lead to long-term disarray down the road. And it's a really disappointing way to behave, and certainly not something that the people of Wisconsin want. I haven't heard from a single person who says, I pay taxes and I want my government in disarray. But that's what Republicans are giving us on the state and federal level. So we need to fix that right away.
That they are. State Representative Katrina Shanklin is our guest for this half hour. We'll continue our conversation in just over 60 seconds here on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. More with State Representative Katrina Shanklin coming up, but first to tell you in our next half hour, some of the most active advocates for Wisconsin public education are retired teachers. We'll meet some of the educators who have been working to educate the general public, lawmakers, about the best ways to support our kids and our schools. But now we're continuing our interview with State Representative Katrina Shanklin, candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, hoping to run against Derek Van Orden coming up later this year. And again, Katrina, as we looked at some of the things that Derek Van Orden has or has not been working on, I'm drawn to the latest story in healthcare about how there's been an all-time record in signups for health insurance coverage through the Affordable Care Act marketplace, both nationally and in Wisconsin. And so my question to you is, if elected to Congress, how would we build on that? Versus what do we face if Republicans were to win the White House and if Derek Van Orden were to be in the majority next year, how they would treat health care? What's the difference between you guys?
Yeah, I think that it's fantastic, first of all, that over 21 million people across the country have chosen Affordable Care Act marketplace coverage. And for a lot of people, this is not only about stability and getting access to affordable health care, but it's really about preventative care as well as life-saving treatments and screenings. And so I think that, first of all, knowing how many times Republicans in the past have voted to try to repeal Affordable Care Act coverage, it's fantastic that so many people across America have gotten access to this coverage. I personally think that we can do a lot more to improve it. During the pandemic, there were additional subsidies to make the ACA even more affordable. And I think we need to look at the long-term affordability aspect of it in the same way that during the pandemic, the child care tax credit was transformational to lifting people out of poverty. I think the ACA enhanced subsidies did similar. But we also need to look at helping people get into the program. And I think that the Biden-Harris administration has done a great job of that. And I also want to give credit to Governor Tony Evers, whose administration has not only put out a lot of information about how to enroll in the ACA, but has also just celebrated that big win too. And I think when you have leadership at the top, people who are willing to champion this issue, not only do you see that increase in enrollment, but you know there's peace of mind attached to it. You know that people are using those healthcare plans and they're getting that preventative care that they need, which frankly lowers healthcare costs for all of us down the road. And so a healthier society, of course, is better for all of us too. So I'm excited about that. And I would say we need to take even more steps to make healthcare more affordable, and would look forward to having those conversations in Congress with everyone.
Derek Van Orden is busy posting again on social media saying that every Democrat that makes a claim about his position, for example, on abortion, is lying. And then he refers people to an article last June in the Pierce County Journal. And in it, he mentions repeatedly the radical left supporting abortion up to birth. Democrats support taxpayer-funded abortion up to the time of birth with zero exceptions. Americans do not want unrestricted abortion up to birth without exception. And he makes a few more references, like doing so would put us on par with communist China and North Korea. When you put that out as your position, that Democrats want abortion up to the time of birth, when you're not even taking the issue seriously enough to be factual, does that work in your favor when trying to talk about abortion care to voters?
I would say it shows that he doesn't understand the issue, and he's really more interested in scoring political points than he is in listening to a single woman's personal healthcare story, right? And I think first and foremost, we should make it clear that these decisions are best left and should always be left between a woman and her doctor, as well as her faith and family if she so chooses. But making private medical decisions, those are personal decisions. A politician should never interfere in that decision. And his rhetoric is not only a myth, but he's making a mockery of an issue that is deeply personal to women and their families. And that's just disgraceful. We just saw last week Republicans in the state assembly also advanced a bill that they knew the governor was going to veto that would limit access to our reproductive freedoms. And I think it's pretty clear, the choice could not be more clear. Democrats stand on the side of allowing and expanding access to healthcare, as well as supporting reproductive freedom. Republicans are playing not only political games, but really using harmful rhetoric to do so at a time when I've heard from so many women across Wisconsin after the Dobbs decision who are very, very aggrieved, concerned, and deeply troubled by the Dobbs decision. We believe in the right to make our own decisions and the freedom to make our own medical care decisions for ourselves.
You started by talking about endorsements that you've received lately. How about if we give you one live on air? One of our most frequent listener posters, Roger, chimes in here on Facebook just now. I was very unhappy with Van Orden when he refused to debate his opponent 2 years ago. Over the last 2 years, we saw more of Van Orden's true colors. We need to make him a one-termer. I am a constituent of Representative Shanklin, and she has my support. Roger, thanks for chiming in with that. And I sense that's not the first time you've heard something like that while you're campaigning.
Well, thank you so much, Roger. That's so kind. And thanks for your kind words. I would say I agree with you completely. And I've heard, honestly, one of the biggest issues I've heard from folks almost unanimously across the 3rd Congressional District is how frustrated they are that they have a member of Congress who's hiding. And he hid throughout every debate. You know, Brad Paff, as a candidate last time around, tried a lot of different ways to get Van Orden to debate. Now that he's a member of Congress, he has the power of incumbency. He also has the liability of we're all his shared constituents. And I want to say, I agree with you completely. My goal is to get him to debate. I have not stopped saying this, and I will continue to ask him, what is he afraid of? Because we have not seen him out and about in his district in the way that he should be as a member of Congress. And I think the stark contrast to how I'm campaigning, I'm having public events where anyone can walk in, sit down and have a cup of coffee with me and ask any questions, share their ideas. I think that that shows not only am I not afraid of the public, but I believe strongly in engaging the public as a member of our elected government. And he is, I believe, very strongly going to be a one-term member of Congress. So I want to thank you, Roger, for your support.
And I was going to ask what, you know, for all the work that you have to put in, the miles, the hours, the endless fundraising phone calls and everything else, what are you enjoying the most about it? And I think you've already put your finger on it, is as crazy as politics can be sometimes, you get to meet a lot of great folks too.
You really do. So a lot of people, you know, we're at the height of the legislative session right now, and I'm in Madison today for work, and people will say, how are you doing? How are you doing both of these things? And I'll say, look, when I'm on the campaign trail, that's where I get my energy. I love meeting new people. I love the opportunity to hear their stories, to learn more about the communities across the third, and to be a champion for them. And it would be a deep, deep honor to get the opportunity to serve everyone in Congress. In the meantime, it's already an honor to hear their stories and to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. So I really enjoy the travel and the experiences, and the opportunity to just really learn and listen has been wonderful.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to get an update from you, and promise to do it again very soon. Katrina, State Representative Katrina Shanklin, thank you so much for telling us more about the campaign for Congress. Take care, drive safe out there, and we'll touch base again real soon.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Now, a reminder that coming up the next two mornings, we will be talking to a couple of more candidates. Rebecca Cook tomorrow at 7:05, Eric Wilson Friday at 7:05, and continue to monitor the race and things that they say, things that Derek Van Orden talks about on the trail as well, in what is going to be one of the most closely watched congressional races in all of Wisconsin. So now when we come back from a bit of a pause here, we're going to get into our weekly homeroom segment, where we're going to talk to some of the real, you know, heroes of standing up for public education, the retired educators themselves, informing the general public about the ways we should be supporting kids in schools. Up North News Radio continues live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Check out Civic Media's newest show, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Plenty of entertainment, comedy, and pop culture news every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. live across the Civic Media Radio Network. And keep in mind as well, over on the Civic Media, or on the Courier Newsroom side of things, our parent company here at Up North News, you can go to couriernewsroom.com and subscribe to newsletters with political reporting from some of our favorite guests, including Mark Jacob, Kia Vakil, Carolyn Fiddler, and more. You can also find Mark Jacob here Friday mornings at 7:30 and at stopthepresses.news. Just more ways to get information through Up North News and Up North News Radio, where it's Wednesday at 7:35. So it's time for our homeroom segment, where we highlight the work that people are doing to lift up our public schools, look out for their funding, their security, their success. And it turns out the more you talk about advocating for our public schools, the more you hear it's some of the retired educators who are working some of the hardest shifts and doing most with the public to help remind us of, you know, how much value is in public education. Other retirees, they just walk away. They head to a beach or a golf course or something. Not this bunch. We've got Mary Bell, a retired teacher from Sun Prairie, Tom Zagan, the president of WEAC Retired, and Tammy Johnson, a retired teacher in Wales as well. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Well, let's start, Tom, with WEAC Retired. Folks who are certainly familiar with the Wisconsin Education Association Council, you know, otherwise known in some circles as the Big Bad Teachers Union for many years. But WEAC Retired is a formidable group on its own. Tell us more about it.
We are the Big Bad Retired Educational Group. That's right. So we are a community of retired educators. There are over 11,000 members who have chosen to be members of WEAC Retired. And we are an engaged community of retirees who want to still promote public and quality public education for the common good. And we're involved in all sorts of legislative, social justice, and racial justice issues.
And, you know, Mary, you were the head of WEAC for a time as well. So you didn't have to stay active like this, and yet here you are. Why do you and so many retired educators continue to stay active this way?
Because being a teacher, being involved, being active to advocate for public education, it's part of the DNA of this group of people. And I think a lot more people care about them, but they don't necessarily know from the inside what some of those issues are. And that's what we hope to continue to show. Particularly right now as a retired school library media specialist, the issues that are confronting both curriculum and library collections are too important to stay on the sidelines.
And there are so many different challenges, shall we say, right now. And Tammy, for example, you are on the NEA, the National Education Association Racial and Social Justice Committee. Mary, you co-chair the Racial and Social Justice Task Force for WEAC Retired. So Tammy, tell me more about that and the reason why you stay involved in some of these rather weighty, sometimes controversial issues.
Well, as a retired APUS government teacher, I taught about those issues. And so it was really important to me to be able to help people understand them. And I feel like in retirement, I wanted to continue that work, but from the outside of the classroom. And so NEA established this Racial and Social Justice Task Force, and Tom appointed me to that. And then we decided we could also do the same and take it maybe even further at the state level for the social justice task force that we have.
This is something that we talked to State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley, about. Somebody who has not shied away from saying that we should have an emphasis on diversity and inclusion in our schools, that there are people always wanting to push back, saying, you know, stick to the basics. But I think those are folks who have the privilege, quite frankly, of never being in a marginalized community. Tom, do you agree? Are you part of those that say, well, maybe there needs to be, you know, less talk of DEI and more focus on, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic?
I think for those of us who have really worked in public education for many years, we realize that we are stronger together and that diversity is our strength. We are able to tap into so many of our members' strengths through what we know are their diverse abilities, strengths, and interests.
And then, Mary, you know, one of those issues that comes up is books, and you've got right-wing groups that are working so hard under the guise of either parents' rights or something else to basically attack books that they don't necessarily agree with. And I was really captivated by Dr. Underley, putting that under a new umbrella, and that is the freedom to read. And so tell us about the importance of not just, you know, rolling over or rolling our eyes when people come in to challenge the books that are available in our libraries and classrooms.
Yeah, it's really important that we talk about why materials are selected and that everyone needs to feel represented. Parents certainly have a right to talk about what their children can read, but they don't represent all children and they don't represent all parents. And I think in the communities where they've come together to say, no, we want our children to have access to materials, they recognize that people need to be seen. People need to be recognized. People need to be honored for who and how they are. I grew up in a very small town. If I had not had a broad range of reading material where I could learn about other cultures and other people, it would have been a much, much more difficult transition to an adult life where I've been able to work and advocate for people around the country.
I'm looking and reading here that among the many things that retired educators are working on, one person referred to it as a meme farm, which floods social media. Tammy, talk about the importance of you know, messaging all this. It's you know, how do you get out of your own you know, inner loop and end up talking to the general public, whether through social media or otherwise?
Well, I think as retired educators, now what we're doing is we're teaching adults, and we're trying to get them to see the contrast between two different candidates, teaching them about the issues that they might not necessarily know that much about. And I think that creating informed citizens is something that I've always been really concerned about. And so that's the things that we do in WEAC Retired are a perfect retirement project for me.
Now, you're retired from active teaching now, but I dare say every one of you was still actively teaching in the early days of what has now become a 16-year run of the legislature not funding public schools to keep up with inflation. It's led to record amounts of school referendums, and that probably will be the case this spring as well. Tom, to what degree are retired educators limiting themselves to, you know, classroom issues versus becoming advocates in the community as these referendums come up?
Oh, definitely at local and at state levels, you will find loads of retired educators, both communicating directly or at rallies. And if you remember last May, there was a huge budget rally for our education budget in Madison. And it was filled with those of us who are retired educators.
And so, Mary, does that mean that, you know, at any given point, it's the retired educators that are instrumental in trying to get referendums passed?
Yeah, we have both a knowledge about why it's important and what has happened to funding for public schools, but we also care deeply about those issues and know that the community does if they understand what's been happening. So when you're involved locally, which we have the time to do if we're not in the classroom, we can explain to people exactly what the differences are and why public schools are struggling in order to keep those doors open and offer the kind of education that even small school districts across Wisconsin have always done to better prepare our students and our future in Wisconsin to be a part of what's coming.
Oh, and Tammy, you know, when Mary says, you know, as people learn, you know, what's what, to me, number one on that list has always been if more people understood just how much is, you know, skimmed off the top of public funding our public schools and given to voucher schools instead. I mean, that's, you're retired, but you could probably have a full-time job just trying to educate people on the complexities of the school funding formula and what it really means, what they're really paying for.
That's correct. And it is a complicated issue for many people who don't necessarily follow it. So it's important for us to talk about it. And other things that we do, we also we're able, because we're not being paid anymore, to go to our local school board meetings and to speak at those meetings and to actively support pro-education candidates that we're hoping will also forward some of these concerns that we have.
So not being, you know, in the classroom now, Tom, does that give retired educators a bit more, I don't know, freedom is the right word, to, you know, to speak more freely and frankly about what the current situation is? And you know, does that invite, you know, does that invite more pushback from friends and neighbors, or is this a healthy dialogue?
I think that it is both, certainly. But what are they going to do? They're not going to fire us. So we don't have to worry about that. So having said that, we bring, each of us bring over 30 years each. Multiply that times the 11,500 some members, and you have an idea of how much experience we each bring to our communities and at the state level to what we know about, be it state funding or how schools are run.
And you mentioned, did you say 11,000 members now?
11,500.
Wow, that is impressive. And Mary, that includes annual conferences. I know that I was very fortunate to be invited to speak to the last statewide conference there. So are you, I mean, that's an impressive number, but I would imagine you still do outreach, that there are other retired educators that should know about the group or reasons why they should join.
Oh, absolutely. Being a member of WEAC Retired is a really important part of who we were as professionals. And although we go in retirement to do lots of other things, some of which are really a lot of fun and educational, but not necessarily school related, it is really important for us to be a part of the network. And a number of people join WEAC Retired because we got to know each other as working professionals. We were part of Department of Public Instruction committees, working on curriculum standards, working on improving schools. We were part of our union in order to advocate for those very funding issues. And that network of people across the state don't disengage just because you retire.
Yeah. So in conclusion, Tammy, I think, you know, do you think it's a good idea if members of the general public, if they know of a retired educator, you know, go ahead and strike up a conversation? They're probably not going to hit you with the "I'm retired, I don't deal with that anymore." Should people see their neighbors who are retired educators as an asset that way?
I think so. I mean, I know I'm sure for all of us that we do have neighbors that ask us about different topics that they just heard about and how do we feel about it. I know when I go back to the school board meetings, because I live in the school district that I worked in, that everybody's real happy to see me and ask me, tell me what's going on in the schools and ask me if I can help with different things. So I think it's something that happens with all of us.
I'm sure also one of the first questions anybody asks you when they hear you're a retired educator is, how did you do it? Because that's a role so few people, you know, can do, and more people need to frankly appreciate it. But Tammy Johnson, Mary Bell, Tom Zagan, thank you very much for telling us more about WEAC Retired and the work you're doing in the community. It's so greatly appreciated, and hope you all have a great day.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Pat.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show next, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. To this country, we were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. It was on this day that in 2010 that Taylor Swift's Fearless was the album of the year, and at age 19, she was the youngest person to ever win that award. And somehow she only got bigger and bigger and bigger ever since. And now we live in a world that is absolutely upside down, Todd Alba. The fascination that people have with Taylor Swift going to some football games.
You mean she's again, put there by the CIA?
Yeah. Todd, I never thought I'd live in a world like this.
Really?
A young woman gets to be a star and catches this much weirdness. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. We've been around the state.
What studio are you in there? I don't recognize you. You've been in the Waukesha studio, Green Bay.
You know, my apartment. Awesome. Yeah. It's the All Ball. It's the WALL Studios. Wall.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, look, congratulations to Taylor Swift making it to the Super Bowl in her rookie season. Yeah. But, I mean, it's nice to see now the backlash against the backlash, telling people settle down.
Well, and speaking of that, you're going to be joining us on our show at noon today. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And also our friend Trinity Olson. And the topic of the entire first hour, for the most part, is going to be Taylor Swift and the Super Bowl. And more importantly, what you brought up was men with small genitalia and no backbone taking on a young woman who's successful. That's what we're talking about. And none more apropos than our former governor, Scott Walker, who has gotten into a bit of a Twitter snit, not so much at me, but our friend Trigvi Olsen, because, of course, this all started back at Badger Boys State, which the governor doesn't like to talk about, the former governor, because instead of, you know, trying to get a girlfriend, he was trying to be elected governor of Badger Boys State, and it never really panned out all the way up to President of the United States. And now he is tweeting out attacking Taylor Swift, a young woman who has overcome misogyny, who overcame trying to have her record label stolen away from her records, and who is a great inspiration for particularly young women, but people everywhere. She signed up over 45,000 people to vote, and these men cannot handle it. And what they're really fearful of is that she has a huge following, and this election this fall could be very, very close. And they're like, oh my God, a young independent woman with a brain might actually sway voters. And they're wetting the bed over this. And I love every minute of it. And so today we're going to talk about it.
And so if any message needs to get through to those folks, it's how about if you campaign and win on your ideas? You know,
that's a novel idea.
Yeah, run on your record. It's what we said earlier about former President Trump meeting with the Teamsters. It's like, what's your plan for the working man? And so far, his only plan has been the UAW should fire Sean Fain. That's not a plan for labor.
Right.
So if we could just focus on that, that would be the best thing here. Any other observations from your latest tour of Wisconsin? I mean, You really did put on the miles this time as our brand ambassador.
Green Bay, Wausau, Superior, Hayward. I spent the night at my sister's in Eau Claire. I'm sorry I didn't say hi. I didn't do a show there. Otherwise, I would have called you.
I was a little tied up.
Don't call me. I'll call you.
I was a little tied up is the nicest way I can say my status while getting a colonoscopy. So I wasn't prepared.
He had more pressing matters.
To receive. As it were, yes.
I drove by, saw the exit for Lake Wissota. It's been a while since I've actually seen the exit that says Lake Wissota.
Yeah,
the big takeaway, Pat, in all seriousness, and somebody else said this, I think it was Jeff Ania, one of our guests, a great author of the Northern Wisconsin Mystery Series. Great books if you can get your hands on them, which I saw at an independent bookstore in Hayward. Takeaway is 97% of Wisconsinites are great people, and we basically all want the same thing. And the other 3% are just taking a shower. And so if you just focus on what binds us together, you know, good education, as your last guest we're talking about. You had Katrina Shanklin on, talking about we have some great candidates taking on this goofball Derek Van Odwin. And you know, they just want good government. They want a good education and good health care. And then you're fine.
Yeah. And again, a reminder that we had Katrina Shanklin on today. We'll have Rebecca Cook tomorrow, Eric Wilson on Friday. And again, to let people know that there's going to be so many commercials. There's going to be so much fodder out there. But if you can hear somebody, can hear in their own words when they're speaking, you know, in visits like this on the radio, it does you so much more good than, you know, the latest mean tweet. So we're really going to make that effort to hear directly from folks on this show, on your show, and others.
Yeah, yesterday we spent a lot of time reading from the actual court document of that one of these goofballs from Wisconsin who was at January 6th. And
Derek Van Orten?
No, it wasn't him.
Riley was his last name. Anyway, he in his own deposition under oath, which he pled guilty to, he bragged about using bear spray to spray cops and to take them down. And the question I asked is that someone who backs the blue? And remember, this is what Derek Van Orten and Trump are running on. Here is an instance where someone is pled guilty to taking down cops, and yet Trump and Van Orden want to pardon these people, call them hostages, and put them on the street. I don't think most people in the 3rd District of Wisconsin or anywhere in Wisconsin, I don't think that adds up. That's just my take.
No, I agree. And but they're also going to have a lot of deep pockets to try to convince people otherwise. Just look at what Ron Johnson was able to do last time around. So nobody can take anything for granted.
Wait, and he dresses up in flannel and goes to Quick Trip and all this stuff. And tries. Here's the facts on Derek Van Orten. He doesn't buy his coffee at Quick Trip. He buys it at Sitco. So take it for what it's worth.
Whoa.
he also agreed with a post lately that outlined Trump's plan to dismantle the deep state. And I don't have time to get into all of it, but it basically would give the president more authority. It would take down the civil service system. It would make it easier to declassify information. Basically, it's a plan to embrace conspiracy theories, tear down an independent civil service, silence whistleblowers, subvert a free press, and declassify whatever Putin is looking for. I mean, that's whenever you hear about the deep state from Derek Van Orden, they're basically just saying, well, we want Trump elected to do whatever Putin wants him to do. That's the
you can put that very succinctly by saying what Trump and Van Orten want is, I watched Hogan's Heroes last night. Mein Kampf! that's what they're going for. That's kind of what they're going for.
Todd Alba will have this and much more coming up noon to two weekdays. I'll see you this afternoon, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Mr. Bach will be back as part of Matt and Air on Air a little bit later on as well, too. All respectful and everything. You do such a good job on that. I tried to compliment him so
hard. Thank you.
There we go. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.